The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather as Murfreesboro Baptist Church to worship God this morning. We're delighted that you are here on this Christmas Eve morning, the fourth Sunday of Advent. We're still preparing this morning, and this evening we celebrate Christ's birth with our Christmas Eve service. And we hope that you'll be able to be here. We will have a nursery available this evening. That'll be at 5:30. And it'll be a candlelight service of lessons, communion, and carols. And so it'll be a very special time of worship as we gather on Christmas Eve at 5:30. Plenty of time for you to come and worship and then go and be with your families this evening. And we hope that you'll be able to be here for that special time. On December 27th at 6:30, there's also going to be a Christmas concert at Lasker Baptist Church, and Dr. Charles Hewlin, pianist, will be a part of that. And so you may want to attend that as well. I want to say thank you to all those who have contributed to all the different giving opportunities during the holiday season. We did a lot of different things with the Angel Tree, the Fuel Assistance Program, the White Christmas Boxes, CBF Global Missions Offering, and then some other things as well that have been going on. And people have been so generous, and we are so grateful for your generosity. Thank you for participating in that. One other thing that you will see in the bulletin is that on January 14th, there will be a pastor installation service. My probationary period will be over, okay? that will be a wonderful time of worship as well, and we have a couple of guest ministers coming in to help us with that service, and you'll hear more about that later. We're delighted to have everyone here, guests that are with us. We thank you, folks who have come home for the holidays. We thank you for being here, and also we welcome those who are joining us by our live stream or our radio broadcast. We're grateful you're part of our worship today as well. As we worship God together, we begin this morning with the lighting of the Advent wreath.
Today we will light the fourth candle in our Advent wreath. As we do, we remember God's blessings, symbolized by the candles of hope, peace, and joy.
The fourth candle helps us to remember that God is love. The Bible tells us that Jesus said the greatest commandment is love. It is because God loved the world so much that Jesus came to share God's love. Because God loves us, we must love and care for others.
This candle reminds us to share our love with others through words and actions. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for expressing your love through the life of Jesus, through our lives and the lives of those around us. Help us to remember that your love will never end. Amen.
All right, let us all stand and sing all the stanzas of O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
Please join me in our litany of praise that comes from Romans 16, if you'll join in on the bold print. God is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is number 102, Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
Seven today. What God wants for Christmas, now here's the surprise, in box number seven where it's been disguised. Peek in the box, for so long you have waited. Open the box. What is it? A mirror. What God wants is you, the one he created. Me, you ask, why is this so? I cannot wrap me and put on a bow. No, you cannot, but what you can give are the choices you make in the life that you live. God wants you to know him and love him within, and this is called worship, an offering to him. To do this, trust Jesus who died in your place when you didn't deserve him. That is called grace. Pray now and offer your life and your heart. Say, Jesus, I need you. I'd like a new start. Forgive me today for the sins I've committed, so one day in heaven I will be permitted. When you pray this decision, the heavens rejoice that you have made worship of God your life's choice. God wants you to know him, so choose every day to love God and thank God and give him all praise. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us your son. Now let us give back to you what you deserve, which is our life and the life that we should live based on your son. In your son's name.
Thank you. Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from 2 Samuel. It should be 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and verse 16. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now when the king, that is David, was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See, now I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may live in their own place and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more as formerly from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we join together in prayer this morning, several folks that we need to remember, Ed and Verly Rainey. Ed is at Cortland Rehab and had some difficulties this week, but is doing some better now. Verly is in the hospital with flu, but she is doing much better this morning and hopefully will go home tomorrow. And also someone has shared that Janice Vinson is home from the hospital from a fall she had, and so please pray for her. There are others, I'm sure, that are on our hearts and minds, and so let's join together in prayer. I'll offer our prayer, and then we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Merciful God, our gracious Heavenly Father, eternal God, creator of the universe, sustainer and redeemer and judge, we come before you in awe and in worship, giving thanks to you for who you are and all that you have done and all that you do, giving thanks to you especially, Lord, for what we're about to celebrate with the birth of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are amazed that the God who created this universe, who flung the stars into space, who created this incredible planet that we live on, where all the elements were just exactly right, where you would establish life. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We're amazed that such a God would be so concerned with us as you are. And yet your word tells us that you created us in your own image to be in fellowship with you. And yet when we'd gone astray, going our way instead of your way, choosing what we wanted instead of what you wanted, choosing the path of destruction rather than the path of life, you were determined to redeem a people for yourself, Lord, and how grateful we are that in your mercy and grace and your great eternal purpose, you have included us in that plan. We thank you, Lord, for how you worked down through the ages, the promises that you made to Abraham and to Moses and to your people and to David and his descendants, and how in time you honored those promises in Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, the Word become flesh to dwell among us, to reveal to us your glory. Father, we thank you that in him you have shown us your way, that in him, through his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection, you have redeemed us. We thank you, Father, that through his death and his resurrection, you have forgiven us and set us right with you. And through your Spirit, you empower us day by day to live as his disciples, to live faithfully for you. Oh, Lord, we're grateful for the promises that he's given us, promises of your presence with us through your Spirit, promises of his return in glory, promises of resurrection at the last day, and judgment, and new creation. Oh, God, we thank you for these great and precious promises, and for how when the right time comes in Jesus Christ, you will set all things right. Lord, in this Advent season, as we've been preparing to celebrate his birth, as we have been looking forward to his return and thinking about the significance of that, we come now to this last Sunday in Advent, and this evening we'll celebrate his birth in our Christmas Eve service. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to put aside the hustle and the bustle of this season, that you will help us to come with hearts focused on you in this time of worship this morning and in our worship this evening, to come, Lord, truly to celebrate your amazing love and grace in Jesus Christ. Lord, we're grateful for all you've done in him, and we're grateful for all the temporal blessings you give to us. We're grateful, Lord, for the generosity that's been shown by this congregation during this season. And Father, even as we offer our thanks, we come also to offer our requests. Lord, we pray for those we have called by name this morning, and for others who are on our hearts and minds that we've not called their names. You know all about each one, Lord. You know what their situations are. You know what their needs are. And we lift them to you. Father, we pray that where there is uncertainty, that you will bring clarity. We pray, Father, that you will help in each situation, and that you will give grace and strength, and where it can be your will, that you will bring healing. Father, we rejoice that some among us who were facing uncertainty and possible difficult diagnoses have been cleared. And we're grateful for that. And we're grateful for all the ways that you hear our prayers, Lord, and the ways that you respond. Father, we pray not only for individuals who are in need, but we pray for your church here at Murfreesboro and for all the expressions of your church throughout the world. We pray for missionaries wherever they're serving. We pray for persecuted Christians and ask your help for them in the lands where they are not able to meet freely and worship. We pray, Father, for our country and our leaders at all levels. We pray, Lord, for your will to be done in all things. Father, thank you for this time of year. We know that for some it has been a difficult season because of grief over the loss of a loved one. But Lord, we pray that even in the midst of the difficulty, that you will help us to enter anew and afresh into the good news that Jesus Christ has come. So bless us now, Lord, as we worship you. Hear us as we offer our prayers in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who together with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God forever and ever. And hear us, Lord, as we gather all of our prayers now, spoken and unspoken, and lift them as with one voice in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 114, Gentle Mary Laid Her Child. Heard me quote it before, but it's especially appropriate today. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. Remember how he left his glory, how he came as a babe in Bethlehem, how he gave himself for us, and lived the kind of generosity that he has shown us in his grace. Amen. Thank you. And so, Lord, be pleased to accept these offerings as our expressions of gratitude for all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We pray in his name. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord, praise his holy name.
The shepherds were out in the fields one night, glory to God in the highest, watching the sheep by the star's faint light, glory to God in the highest. Suddenly the night sky blazed, an angel said, "Do not be afraid."
The text for our sermon this morning comes from the passage that we just read and also farther on through this first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Let's pray. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, we ask for your guidance and your direction. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to use some imagination in a disciplined way to be open to what you would say to us today as we hear your word to us. And help us, Father, to receive it and to obey. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture it. A little house in a little town in the hill country of Judea a little over 2,000 years ago. It's the home of the aging priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And they're getting a little age on them now. For years they had prayed that they might have a child, hopefully a son. But God has not chosen to answer that prayer as they had desired until now, that is. Because now, late in life, Elizabeth is expecting a child. It was so late that it could only be called a miracle. And it was not just any child, mind you. This child was going to be John the Baptist. You see, the angel Gabriel had appeared to Zechariah while he was burning incense in the temple, and that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for most of the priests of that day. And the angel had told him that Elizabeth was going to bear a son. Gabriel's appearance had certainly made it memorable for Zechariah, but that message that Elizabeth was going to have a baby, well, that made it even more incredible. And that son would be the one who would be great before the Lord, and he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth, and he would be the prophet who would prepare the way for the Messiah. Now, Elizabeth was 6 months along. But on this day, something even more special is going to happen to Elizabeth. She's about to receive a visit, an unexpected visit from her young cousin, Mary. Now, Mary's been pledged to be married to a conscientious and upright carpenter named Joseph. And like other Jewish couples, their betrothal would last for a full year before their actual marriage. And their betrothal, as it was called, was much more binding than engagement in our culture because it could only be broken by a legal divorce. They had not yet come together to live fully as husband and wife. They were not living together. They were not enjoying all the privileges of being a husband and wife, but it could only be dissolved by a divorce. Now, Mary's come a long way. She's come all the way from Nazareth in Galilee, more than 50 miles. It's a long trip on a donkey, but she's probably come on foot. And as she has come, she seems to have made the journey by herself. And that made it even more amazing. So Mary comes to the door and she knocks. And Elizabeth wonders, who in the world's there? She makes her way to the door and opens it, and to her utter surprise, it's Mary, probably the last person in the world that she was expecting. She's glad to see her, but maybe she's wondering why she's here, wondering how she got here. Is your father with you? Has it already been more than a year and your husband Joseph has brought you? And then Mary speaks. And when she speaks, something happens. Elizabeth's baby, who would be John the Baptist, leaps within her. And suddenly Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she loudly exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Somehow in that sacred moment, Elizabeth knows, even though Mary has just greeted her, she knows.
with the response of her own baby and with the Holy Spirit filling her, all the dots connect, and she realizes that Mary is to be the mother of the Messiah. It's an awesome moment, isn't it? Mary knows because she's had a visit from the angel Gabriel. He's told her that in a miraculous way, even though she's still a virgin, she'll bear the Messiah. No man will be his father. Instead, by God's miraculous, direct, creative act in her, she would bear the Messiah, the Son of God. Mary may have thought that no one would believe her, that they'd think she was crazy or was playing on the messianic hopes of popular piety to cover up sin. But now, without Mary saying a single word except to greet her, Elizabeth knows. And Elizabeth blesses Mary and the Messiah that she will bear. And then when Mary hears Elizabeth's blessing, she breaks out in song. And she says in verses 46 through 55, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." Now, in the Bible, singing is a particularly important aspect of worship, both personal and congregational worship. The book of Psalms is Israel's prayer book, but it's also her hymn book, because after all, hymns are often prayers that are set to music, right? Well, many times in Scripture, when God did something new, his people sang a new song to celebrate his mighty acts, as Moses and the Israelites did when they crossed the Red Sea, as the prophet Deborah and the military leader Barak did after the victory over the Canaanite general Sisera. Sometimes it was an individual who sang of God's mercy and mighty acts, as Hannah did in 1 Samuel chapter 2 after she dedicated her little son Samuel to the Lord and left him at the temple. And so now Mary, like Hannah, sings of God's mercy and his power because of a promised son, praising God for his mercy and his mighty works for her and for her people. Now, if you could ask her, "Mary, why are you singing?" She might say something like this: "Why am I singing? Because my Lord has done more for me than I could ever imagine. He sent his angel Gabriel to tell me that he has chosen me to bear his son, the coming one we've been waiting for so long. I didn't deserve this. It's God's unbelievable favor to me. I'm just a poor peasant girl pledged to be married to a carpenter. And yet God has graciously chosen me out of all the women of Israel to bear his son, to bear the Messiah. And you simply won't believe how he's chosen to do it. My baby won't be the son of a human father. God has placed this child in me in a totally miraculous way. Mary, do you really expect people to believe that? What's everybody going to say about you?" And she might answer, "Oh, I know people are going to talk and accuse Joseph and me of improper behavior, or worse yet, they might accuse me of being unfaithful to him. But this is God's doing. My baby is God's act. And he's going to be the perfect Messiah king that he's promised for so long. The Lord's going to give him the throne of his father David. And he's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will never end. I certainly don't understand it all, and I guess I'll ponder it for the rest of my life, but I have to sing because God has done great things for me, and all generations to come are going to call me blessed because of what He has done. And God hasn't just done great things for me. I sing because He's done and is going to do great things for His people through this baby. He's going to show His mercy through him. He's going to deliver us through him. He's going to bring down the proud and lift up the humble and fill the hungry. He's going to help us. And He's going to fulfill His promises and save us. I have to sing. So let her sing. Let her sing. And let us sing with her. How can we do otherwise? The coming of the Messiah and His promised return call forth our songs of joy and praise to Him. There are times when the most proper, indeed the only appropriate response is to sing. Music moves us at a deeper level than almost anything else can. Singing expresses our innermost feelings in a way that almost nothing else can. I remember a number of years ago hearing a friend, a pastor friend, tell about Ethel Waters. You remember her, the actress and singer who sang for so long at Billy Graham Crusades? You remember her signature song, "His Eyes on the Sparrow"? "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." A friend was telling about a time when she was being interviewed, and in the course of the interview, the interviewer said, "Well, Ms. Waters, what's the message you're trying to convey when you sing that song?" And she kind of chuckled and looked at him and said, "Honey, if I could say it, I wouldn't have to sing it." Sometimes the singing just says something more deeply than what we can say it. And so we sing. We sing of God's mighty acts in Christ. We tell it, yes, so that others can hear it and be saved. But like Mary, there are times that we just have to sing it. So let's sing with her. Let's sing with her. But now maybe you don't feel like singing. Maybe something's going on in your life. Things aren't going well for you. There's sickness, or there's been a death, or you're still going through grief. You're going through some kind of trial or heartache. Your future might seem uncertain, and you're fearful about it. Or looking around, you see the shape that our world is in, the lingering effects of the pandemic, the social and political unrest, the natural and the human-caused calamities, the horrors of war, the heartache of living day to day. And maybe you're saying, "How in the world can I sing?" Well, we can sing because of what God has done and is doing in Jesus Christ. When we look beyond our own circumstances and we look into the past to see what God has done, and we look into the future to see what He has promised to do, we take God at His word. We open our hearts and our mouths and we sing out what God has done and what He's going to do. For even when we don't feel like singing, remembering what He's done and what He's promised calls forth our songs. Mary sang even though she knew that folks were going to talk about her. She sang even though her nation was in one of its darkest times, occupied by Roman soldiers. She sang despite her circumstances. And as she sang, Mary praised God for His mercy and His mighty works for her and for His people. and so can we. So let Mary sing, and let's sing with her. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, even in the midst of our trials and our sorrow, we know that we can sing of your goodness and your mercy, especially what you have done for us in Christ. And so, Lord, even as we have been waiting in this season of Advent, we quickly come to sing about our Savior and his birth. Bless us now, Father. Help us each to look to you, to offer ourselves completely to you. Lord, if there are those here this morning or who are listening who have never put their trust in you, may they hear of what you have done and what you have promised, and in their hearts turn to you today. And Father, for those of us who've known you for many years or for a short time, we pray that this time of remembering your promises and of celebrating Christ's birth will renew awe and wonder in us, and that we will sing your praises with more zest than ever before. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 127, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As we do, if there's a commitment you need to share this morning, we invite you to come and share it.
Oh,
Now let's pray together. And so, Lord, for what we've shared in this morning, as we've offered our praises, as we've looked into your word, we give you thanks. Father, for this time, this season of preparation, as we've been getting ready to celebrate Christ's birth, as we've been looking forward to his return, we give you thanks. Help us now, Father, that when we come together this evening, we will truly honor Christ, truly honor you for sending him. And Lord, that our hearts will be strengthened and made glad in the good news that a Savior is born. Bless us as we go forth, Lord. Watch over us and keep us. Now, as you go, my brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.